I am not a ventriloquist. You have noticed that maybe in some children's sermons, but I am a puppeteer, right? I love putting a puppet on one hand and then begin to have a conversation between the puppet and me. It's a lot of fun to have a conversation as part of the children's sermon each week, and I don't do that. Like, I don't practice that at home, like have a puppet and talk to it. So those conversations are all pretty spontaneous. I do love that the younger ones pay such close attention to the conversation, hopefully learning something in the process. And I do love it that adults pay as close or closer attention to what the conversation's about. I know during the children's sermon, sometimes it gets surly up here, and kids don't always behave the way grown-ups do. But we've got that card in the pews for a reason. Kids are, God put the wiggle in kids. Let's not try to not take it out of them. Because we're grown-ups, right? We're grown-ups, and we'll get over it. And kids learn in the long haul. Kids don't learn right away by being smacked or spanked. I know that when we were growing up, that was the way it was, but it ain't. And it wasn't then either. Because hitting, no hitting, it's a good rule, like overall. And your parenting style may have been different. I'm just laying that out there. Over the years, I have used many puppets, starting with a small monkey puppet. When I was about 10 years old, I made it as part of a Cub Scout project. I don't know what happened to this puppet. His name was Jojo. He was about that big. He had rods for his arms, and I would make him talk, and he would move his arms and everything, and it was fun. And I wish I knew where he was, but I think he just kind of went away. Other puppets, though, I've had include Nicky the donkey. You seen him before? Nicky the donkey. So, you know, each one has their own voice. I don't even remember if I know all the voices there, but hey, how you doing? I'm Nicky. I think that's his voice, is that right? What? Nikolai? I think it was Nicodemus. He needs some repairs there. Let's see, who else do I have? I got Nicky the donkey and Goliath the gorilla. I remember with a kids' singing class I used to teach, Goliath was kind of scary, but his he did a trick. He talks like this. Yeah, I'm Goliath. And what he could do was he could hit his head on the ceiling. It was a short enough ceiling that he would jump, and he would head on the ceiling, and he would say, ow, and kids would laugh. Sort of slapstick, I guess. No hitting, but if a gorilla hits their head on the ceiling, I guess that's okay. Wow, you're none the worse for wear either, all of these puppets. See, I don't use these guys anymore because they're in such disrepair. All right, we got Mrs. Von Quack, the goose. She is so fun. She's into things that are proper, so sometimes she gets upset when people don't behave right, but yes, this is the way that it should be. She's kind of modeled after Mrs. Doubtfire, except the voice was developed before Mrs. Doubtfire existed, so they took that from me. Right? Yes. And actually, I stole the voice from my dad, so Mrs. Von Quack was invented long ago. Who else? Methuselah the Old Man. Oh, yes. This puppet actually originally was Josephus, but the Methuselah puppet I think my dad has, and he won't give it up, so I talk like this. You know, I remember 969 years ago when I was born. Anybody that old? Nope, you're not. You're not. I'm 969 years old. There's actually, you heard about the Methuselah tree, a tree that lives over 4,000 years. It's a pine or a conifer-based tree. Let's see. There's Methuselah. Who else do I have? I've got Rachel the raccoon. I don't think you've ever even met her. Rachel the raccoon. Sorry, Rachel. That was her name before you were born.
And she's very quiet. Hi, I'm Rachel. What's going on?
She doesn't even say what's going on, but there's Rachel. He's fun. Thaddeus the frog. He always has a lot of puns.
Yup! I'm filled with hop! Ha! Get it? Hop! Hope! Hop! Hop! Ha!
And he also does a really good Kermit impression, right? Did you want to do that?
Hi-ho! Kermit the frog here.
See? There's Thaddeus. He's fun. Who else do I have? Bartholomew the bear. I think I developed him as kind of a droopy drawers kind of a character.
Yes, my name is Bartholomew Bear. Hi. This is a kind of a scary-looking microphone.
That one doesn't work. This one does.
Then how can they hear my voice?
Oh, I get it. I get it. So you're playing puppet stuff. All right, who else do we have? Jeremiah the Giraffe. Who's the guy in the movie Heaven Can Wait? Not Warren Beatty, the other guy. Talks a little bit like Thurston Howell III. Do you remember who's the actor who... Do you know who it is? James Mason? Yes.
Yes, I'm Jeremiah the Giraffe. You know, and I like to think of highbrow things. There.
So that was Jeremiah. He talks that way. Who else? Is that all that I've got? And there's one other. I mean, I've got more puppets. These are the ones I brought up there. But you know this guy. He wasn't in the original stable of puppets. But about 10 years ago, some people at the Salmonok church I was working at gave him to me. And he became the favorite. His name is Caleb. And my dad has a Caleb too. And they look exactly alike. They don't sound exactly alike, but
yeah. I think I talk like exactly like you, but with a little bit of Barney-ness to it.
I think that's how it goes. Yeah, that's you, Caleb. So, lots of puppets, not a ventriloquist, but sometimes I get them mixed up. And when I've used all of the puppets over the course of a long time, and I don't do that so much anymore, it's fun to bring them all out and have them impersonate each other because I'm pretty good at that. One of the puppets is really good at impersonating all the others. It's a... Talking in puppet voices is fun. The voices are kind of similar, but if you listen to the Muppets, they're all kind of similar too, done by the same people. So, some people make a career as puppeteers. That's it. Some people make a career as being puppeteers. Others are more impersonators. You ever seen some of some of the best impersonators of our time, or a long time ago. You remember way back when there was Rich Little, right? Rich Little, all of us who are older than 50 are going to remember Rich Little. If you're under 50, you're like, Rich who? Okay. Then Sammy Davis Jr. actually was a really good impersonator, and then people impersonated him for many years and still do. Nowadays, we've got impersonators like Tina Fey, comedian, but she also does great impersonations. Kate McKinnon, hilarious impersonations, especially her political ones. Will Ferrell from Saturday Night Live in a lot of movies does a lot of things. There's a guy named Frank Caliendo that maybe you haven't heard of, but if you watch YouTube at all, Frank Caliendo is kind of like one of the kings of impersonators. And then there's Terry Fader. Terry Fader was on America's Got Talent. He's a puppeteer, actually a ventriloquist, and does voices wonderfully. They're fun to listen to. They're fun to watch. Impersonators are entertaining, right? But impersonation is not always a good thing. Actors portray people different than they are in movies, on television. But the audience knows, at least they should know, as believable as the character might be, that this is not really that person. I mean, they are mocking or using comedy or whatever it is. It's like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, the land of make-believe. Mr. Rogers never told people that this is real. He called it the land of make-believe because it's okay to pretend. But we don't want to pretend so much that we think that that's real. Folks try to take the pretend and make it real. And then usually there's an arrest or something that goes on. This is some recent news reports. Just over the last 2 or 3 weeks, I found reports of people charged with impersonating a police officer, pretty common. Impersonating a restaurant employee. I don't remember the context, but I think it was to get free food. Impersonating a general, a military general. Impersonating a DEA agent to confiscate drugs. Impersonating a judge. Impersonating a U.S. Marshal. Impersonating a senator. Impersonating a coroner. Don't know why. Don't know why someone would do that. Impersonating an FBI agent. Lots of impersonating a celebrity. If you look like a celebrity and you're trying to, you know, take advantage of that. Impersonating a veteran. impersonating a sheriff's deputy, impersonating a doctor, impersonating a lawyer. Or here's this has become more common lately, impersonating a group you oppose to make that group look bad. So people from one side of the political spectrum pretending to be people from another side and being awful to make it look like that's the way all people on that side are. In the cases that I've seen, the impersonation went beyond someone talking in the voice of someone or pretending to be someone else for fun. Instead, they involve using the impersonation to swindle, to scare, to cheat, to steal, to gain significant power over another. So impersonation isn't wrong, but you can't take the pretend, consider it real, and then use the real to swindle, to scare, to cheat, to steal, to gain significant power over another. Simple, right? That's a good rule to live by. Have fun with impersonations, but don't use it for bad. Today's Bible reading, there's several instructions. They aren't about impersonation, but they follow in the same thing. Use these things for good, like speak the truth to your neighbors. Of course, speak the truth to your neighbors. You don't have to speak brutal truth to your neighbors. You can be kind, because then it says, be angry, but do not sin. Are there things that, you know, fall outside, be angry, but do not sin? Well, yeah, because the next one is don't let the sun go down on your anger, which almost says don't be angry, but not quite. But let's take the best possible look at these. Do not make room for the devil. Do you remember the song, Let the Sun Shine In? It was on the Flintstones in the 70s, and then on a CD in the 90s, sort of a punk version of it. My mommy told me something a little kid should know. It's all about the devil, and I've learned to hate him so. Let the sun shine in. Yeah, hey, Marion, you sang that. You and a friend in like fourth grade or something, right? I remember that. Don't make room for the devil. Don't make room. Thieves must give up stealing. Let them labor and work honestly with their own hands. Okay, that's good. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up. That's hard to do. I know we don't try to speak evil, or maybe some people do, but we have to say things that are useful for building up. It's not always easy to do that. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That gets into theological language and everything like that. In one way, it's like, be kind, really kind, not fake kind. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander. That's a long list, because we're all bitter sometimes. We probably have wrath. We probably have anger. We probably have wrangling and slander. Maybe not all of them, but put away from you all of that. Not easy to do, but it's instructed in the Bible. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. That almost encompasses all the others before that. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted. And those, they'll go together. Kind and tender-hearted are, it's not kind and mean to one another. It's not kind of mean, it's kind, tender-hearted, and then forgive one another. Not easy to do, but good instructions. And then the last one, be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love. And if be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another encompasses a lot before that, the last one encompasses all of it and anything that might come afterwards. Be imitators of God and live in love. Or reverse it, live in love, be imitators of God. If you're doing one, you're doing the other. If you're not doing the first one, living in love, you are doing neither. You can't do one. But I mean, people that don't believe in God, yeah, they can not love God, but they can live in love. They don't have to imitate God, but they can live in love. Imitators, not impersonators. We are not God. As much as any one of us think it, deep inside, we are not God. I saw a cartoon this morning of cats. And essentially it said, why cats will never develop a system of religion. Because all of them sitting around a room, all they are doing is laying there going, I am God. I am God. All cats think they're God. Is that true? Right? I'm pretty sure all cats think that they are God. Aside from that, cats also will never develop religion because they're cats. So let's remember that. Let's not be impersonators of God, but imitators. How do we copy the style of, imitate, take as a model of, imitate God? Because it's not about playing God, but it's rather having God be the model for the way we conduct ourselves. It's not about deciding what God thinks or who God says is in or out, but it's about living out love. That's a hard one to do because as church folk, as religious folk, we're usually pretty good at deciding what God thinks or what God, who God says is in or out. But it's not about that. It's about living out love. It's not about using God as a weapon against our enemy. It's about loving everyone extravagantly. It's not about putting decorum over gospel. What does that even mean? I mean, it's not about process or telling people that you have to behave a certain way in order to be a part of a certain thing like that. It's about the gospel. Jesus had no room for decorum, but he did have room for people who didn't always behave the way that everyone else thought they should. Getting it right or getting it wrong doesn't score us or lose us points. Our call to be imitators of God, it grows naturally out of our love for God and our love for each other. And if you don't believe in God, then just love one another, right? You can do that too. So how do we do this? That was some knots. How do we do this? How about we are creators instead of destroyers? We're givers instead of takers. We're helpers instead of hinderers. We're forgivers instead of grudge holders. We're comforters instead of stressors. We're people of peace instead of people of war. We're welcomers instead of people who make others feel unwanted. We're acceptors instead of rejectors. We're lovers instead of haters or people who don't even care. How do we do it? Kind of laid it out in the vision God has for St. Paul's. We're supposed to be a caring community of Christ. We're supposed to be a people of prayer and action. We're supposed to be a beacon of hope, justice, and peace. So let's be a people who offer good in ways that are beyond extravagant. Amen.